This is Bob Tanum in the Garden on Talk Radio 560.
Yes, that's why I'm on the show. And this will be something that if you would like to continue to have this show on the air, then we do need to probably hear from you. And if you like me, you know, if you don't like me, yeah, you know, whatever. So I'm trying to continue Dad's radio show, and that's what we're doing here today. So here we go. We're going to call this, and you can tell me to start with one if you like to, but this would be 3,310 radio shows that my dad has, and then David Farrow is his producer, my producer at the moment. And if you do need help with your Mac computer, he's a Max, he's spelled a Max, M-A-X, Mac computers, you can always email David at david@creativegoose.com. Don't forget the E's on the end of goose and on the end of creative, of course, as well. In the meantime, I'm going to go ahead and do the public service announcements. I would like to have you all prepare your fingertips for gardening questions this morning. I did work for my dad for 13 years in the garden center. And of course, you've heard me sit beside my dad for many moons now, talking about the public service announcements. And so I do know some stuff about gardening. So if you would like to call 415-808-5600, 415-808-5600. It would be fantastic if you had just some crazy gardening questions that I could, you know, do something about. Okay. That would be great. 415-808-5600. All right. So now we're going to do some public service stuff. And so let's see. First off, the Marin Rose Society is meeting this July 12th, 6:30 to 8. So this will be about framing that rose photo. So you can put that up on your wall with Lou Evans. It'll be at the Mountain View Room in Mill Valley Community Center, which is located at 180 Camino Alto Boulevard in Mill Valley. That's the Marin Rose Society having their monthly meeting July 12th coming up this week, 6:30 to 8. The Petaluma Art and Garden Festival is happening today downtown Petaluma. Starts at 11 a.m. So I hope it was going on yesterday, of course, too. I hope you'll be able to make it today, especially if you're a local Petaluma person or Santa Rosa person. Come on down to Petaluma and have a good time. So they've got gardens there, which has been, you know, I've been itching to see garden displays myself for a long time. Also today at 11 a.m., in Sebastopol at Bill's Farm Basket, they're going to be having a mushroom cultivation education. That's at 10315 Bodega Highway in Sonoma. And that is at 11 a.m. today. Put it on your calendar. The Gravenstein Apple Fair is coming up on August 13th and 14th. That'll be at the Raggle Ranch Regional Park. You can get tickets at tickettaylor.com. So tickettaylor.com is where you want to get your advance tickets so you can get a little discount there and get ready to go to the Gravenstein Apple Fair, which I know is a hoot. The webinars, ruthbancroftgarden.org. So they've got all sorts of webinars that you can link up to. They also have live webinars. The one coming up on July 16th is on dry gardening in small spaces. So go to ruthbancroftgarden.org for more information. And of course, if you'd like to become a member or visit their gardens to learn what goes with what visually, that'd be kind of cool. And they've got some very interesting areas at the Ruth Bancroft Garden. Saturday, July 16th, at the Cloverdale Regional Library, Crazy as Bat Guano, The Bizarre Story of Fertilizer. Just a great title. That'll be at 401 North Cloverdale Boulevard. This is put on by the Sonoma Master Gardeners, SonomaMG. .ucanr.edu. So if you want to hook up to the Sonoma Master Gardeners, that's their email. That's everything. SonomaMG. ucanr.edu. Go to the website and find out all sorts of interesting things that are happening in the local area. The San Francisco San Mateo Master Gardeners, that's SFSMMG at ucanr.edu. Or anyway, so you can look up their events as well. And there is also the California Gardener. That's a great website to go to find out all sorts of fun stuff. And in your local area with the Master Gardeners in your area. Or you can travel to another area if you feel like you want to go up to Sonoma for the weekend and say, hey, maybe they're having some sort of a presentation. So you can look up Master Gardeners there and all of the events that might be cool to learn about. There's also the San Francisco San Mateo works through different things that they do with Lingso Garden Center. They're still doing a lot of webinars, but they're also doing the come see their demo gardens. And so they also have a Harvest for Neighbors. So you want to find out more information by going to SFSMMG, that's Master Gardeners, at ucanr.edu. Okay. And then coming up at the end of this month, the San Francisco Orchid Society, Orchids in the Park, the San Francisco Orchid Society's summer sale event, July 30th and 31st from 10 to 5 at the San Francisco County Fair Building, 1199 9th Avenue near Lincoln Way. That's next to the San Francisco Botanical Gardens, which you also must visit. Leave yourself a major amount of time to visit the botanical gardens because there's so many places to really stop and take a look. There's gorgeous plant arrangements, plant sizes, plant areas that are very educational on the history of plants as well. You can find out more information and get tickets before you go at www.orchidsanfrancisco.org. That's orchidsanfrancisco.org. That's great. And the Ruth Bancroft Garden also has webinars. There's one coming up, Power Plants in Dry Gardens, on July 20th. There is a cost for those. It starts at 10 a.m. So those are live webinars. But you can always go to ruthbancroftgarden.org for more information. ruthbancroftgarden.org. And then last but not least, we've got the Bat Night, and that's coming up Saturday, August 13th from 6 to 9 at the Olympale State Historic Park. So if you're a bat enthusiast, so this is definitely the place to go. So they've got, well, they're going to have some bats on hand, so you can take a real good close-up look to bats if you like. But also, of course, it's going to be in the evening, which is also really cool. So Saturday, August 13th from 6 to 9 at the Olympale State Historic Park. Anytime you might have something else that you would like me to announce, I might have a chance to do so. And so you can always email either me directly or my dad. It's easier for me to look at my dad's emails. I've been answering those this week. I'm sure you guys have noticed. But anytime you might have something going on, so go ahead and email bobtanum@aol.com. For now, also go to our website, and there's also links for email. That we'll be getting. So that would be bobtanum.com. All right, let's go ahead and do Dave in San Ramon. Roses look sad. Okay, Dave, how can I help you today?
Edie, I want to give a shout out to my mom and dad in Oakland, and we all should think about our moms and dads right now.
I wonder if you
remember when I came there with my wife in a blue van to your dad's place. You were there. I bought rock powder. Your dad had the time to chat with me and my wife for an hour that day.
Wow. That must have been in January. I remember Dad and windsurfing. That was fun.
Yes. Your dad, you know, at age 60-something, he was taking up windsurfing.
That's right. And he went to Hawaii that year, too, and did some. Yep.
And I wanted to get together with that man and windsurfing. I thought that would have been crazy.
Absolutely.
But I was thinking about your dad this week, and my roses were looking sad. The buds have come out, and I've got a lot of little buds, maybe some with little holes, but they're not doing anything.
Well, if you have holes, you might likely have a beetle in there with a little long snout. I'm not going to name it, but I suspect that it is.
We don't want to profile the beetles, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know... So it's a possibility that it's either going to be needing to be sprinkled with diatomaceous earth, which I don't even understand how that stuff works, or Captain Jack.
I use it on my ants.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. So either that sprinkling, which is the only thing it works on, actually, you know, besides that, I mean, on a rose, or check out Captain Jack's bug brew. Sorry.
Yeah.
Blah, well, get that all out.
That diatomaceous earth has super fine particles, and it gets into the little animal's skin.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I know natural and organic gardeners use it, definitely. But that's
on
one of those
trails.
Characters. Good. That's a good idea.
Captain Jack. Well, what about a soap suds? I've been using that to get rid of some ants.
Unless you basically catch them and put them in a soapy bath, they're not going to get bothered by it. They actually have to be suffocated with soap in order for that to work. So you're not going to see these guys, yeah? So that's why the diatomaceous earth would work, because it would happen when you're not looking, or Captain Jack's. You can also put some sticky traps out to see if you can catch some, so that you know for sure which little devil it is.
Yes.
And that would be not a bad idea. You go ahead and do that, because a lot of times they will get stuck on those. That other green ladybug, the Diabrotica beetle, they get stuck in the yellow cards. So that's something that you might put out there just to see who's out there, right? So you really know which direction to go with the stuff. But that's what I would do. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and then, because they're not going to open.
Yeah, they're
mm-hmm.
not.
Mm-mm. Not once they've got a hole in them.
Yeah. Well, when you get a chance to talk to Dad again, ask him if he remembers that 25 years ago.
I will.
Or was it 30 years ago?
Exactly how time goes.
And where do I get rock powder now, right? Ask Dad that. Where do I get the rock powder?
It is out there. Dave even said last week, David, the producer here, he said, he says, yes, you could probably locate it online, but there's also Azomite, which is a name brand of a rock powder. But there's also Glacier powder and stuff like that I've seen around. It would be nice to have some sort of a rock quarry type place that would just have it in bags ready for you to pick up. I haven't figured that one out.
Like,
although Concord.
We got to go into Dad's records and find out where he got it, huh?
Well, that was a long time ago. Those places aren't around anymore. There was a place in the East Bay, and I remember that vividly because we used to go over there, pick up the rock powder, sell it in the big bags usually, and sometimes we would actually repackage it just so we could have it, because we found that it's really cool stuff. It really worked. Mm-hmm.
It did, Wow. Yeah, I just had a little bit left, and I finally used it after, you know, having 30 years.
But look for Azomite. That's something that's packaged for smaller retail. Or look for rock powder online. Look for Glacier powder. Ask at Concord Feed. I know they got a lot of stuff. They like my dad's show a lot.
Love Concord Feed. That's where we get our thoughts.
Yeah, and if they don't have the rock powder, then maybe they can start locating it for you. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Good selling.
Well, I hope the show can hang on because you sound like your dad.
Oh, thank you. Well, that's very nice. I love my dad a lot.
We do. Yeah. And I want to hear the stories of his childhood. I asked him about Pasterville last time I was on, and I want to hear him talk about the early days, but maybe you can tell us about his early days.
Of which one? What?
Growing up, your dad growing up where he grew up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we'll get to that someday soon. let me get through this little time right now, and then we'll go from there.
he is a legend.
He is a legend. Yeah. And he's got great stories about how he grew up, too, which he has passed on to us all. Yeah.
We need
fantastic.
To listen to our old people and learn the stories and repeat them.
Exactly. You got it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm thank you, Dave. And we will talk at you another time soon. And in the meantime, we're going to take a break because it is that time. So we're going to listen to this. Thanks, David.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit. And you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival. Featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more.
The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Right Perspective. Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
You're listening to Bob Tanum in the Garden on Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
Susie and El Cerrito, I've been up in your apple trees.
I'm so glad you said that. Hi, I'm doing fine. My husband said to be sure to remind Edie that she was up in our apple tree pruning. He was wondering if you remembered.
Oh, yes.
So funny.
I remember your whole garden. It's, you know, that's kind of the gene pool, I might say. You know, I can remember stuff like that, too.
I wish I had a better memory like that. Well, yeah. One thing, we want to be sure you stay on the show and continue this legacy, you know, so we really enjoy listening.
Oh, good.
And
thank
learning.
You very much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, mm-hmm. My question is how to build a raised bed, the soil, that is. We have a clay soil, but mm-hmm. then we need to fill the raised bed with everything.
So this is an old raised bed that you're trying to revitalize, maybe build a new border?
No, we bought the material to create the raised bed, so it's not even up yet.
Okay. What kind of material did you get? The boards?
Yeah, the boards and the... Okay. Yeah, it's a kit.
Oh, okay. Okay. And is it open to the bottom?
Yeah.
The clay soil? Okay. So right. the first thing I would do is probably chop up either with a... Well, not a rototiller necessarily. You don't have to go that drastic. But basically break up the clay so that you have it all. And then build the planter on top of it. Okay. And then go ahead and fill that with planting mix and some manure. Depends on how soon you're going to be planting in it with either seeds or seedlings or established plants, you know, like a gallon tomato or something like that. You know, determines how much of this wonderful manure you can put in there. All right. So my favorite is chicken manure. That stuff does wonders, but it can burn. If you plant in a chicken manure revitalized soil within 2 weeks, it can be too hot. But after two weeks, it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Before you plant. And that's what I would do.
We're
planting
slow,
mix.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Planting mix just is basically, you know, I mean, basically, well, anyway, organic anyway. But yeah, I would do planting mix. There's some planting mixes that I've been running across that are not as receptive to water as I want them to be. So I've been a little bit angry about that.
Sure.
Because you want to get soil that will literally take on water and, of course, allow it to drain through. But not act like a bunch of pieces of wood that just won't soak up.
Wow.
Right? So I found a lot of it's not ground enough, you know? And EB Stone is one of the soils that we've always recommended because we used to carry it in the nursery. And I'm thinking, you know, that's what I bought. I also bought Edna's Best, which is more of a potting soil. That stuff is good. It's more finely grounded. But I might be looking at Gardner and Bloom. I did get some Whitney Farm, but I could tell it had been in the nursery too long. It had crusted up.
Why is that a problem?
Well, if it had been in the bag for too long, it literally can't be broken up very easily once you get it out of the bag. It's almost like a solid mass, right?
Yeah.
And that's not very easy to work with because even if you break it up, it ends up in chunks. And those don't break down into a light soil, which is what you're trying to get, is a light soil that will take on water and drain it. So it's like this, you know, thing. So you got to work it. That's why I like the chicken manure worked in too, because it's a finer material that will actually help with the absorbency as well, which is great.
Okay.
You just mix it together. Just go ahead and empty a bag of the planted mix in there, empty a bag of the chicken manure in there. You know, mix it by hand or a small shovel, just a little bit so you can get it piled up, and then more planting mix and more planting mix. But yeah, so that's what I would do. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. All right, Susie. Thank you. And we'll talk to you again soon. Sounds good. Thank you. Let's go to Pamela from Morgan Hill. And by the way, the phone numbers are 808-5600. And Pamela, how can I help you?
Hi, Edie. It's nice to talk to you. Mm-hmm. Hey, I've been listening to your dad's show for over 20 years, or probably longer, and like clockwork, I could always count on Bob to be there every Sunday morning, talk about gardening, my favorite hobby. And I've had many challenges in the last 20 years, and Bob's always been there every Sunday morning, like a ray of sunshine, with his great gardening advice and his happy attitude, his contagious laugh, and he just helped take my mind off my problems and focus on gardening, you know? And I just love his show. He's a gardening icon, one of the good guys.
He is.
And I really appreciate him being there every Sunday. Two Sundays ago, when you had the recording on, I was so upset. Yeah.
I know. I was like, where's Bob? Yeah.
Yes. I was Googling, where's Bob? So I was glad to hear you last weekend, and I really hope you continue the show. I think you'll do a great job. You know, there is a place for you. You know, we need someone like you to, you know, talk about our hobby and to get help with gardening, especially with the, you know, the shortages that we may have, you know, food. It's, I think you're going to be getting a lot of calls.
This is true.
And you're a wonderful daughter for being there for your dad. And I just like to say thank you, Bob, for being a blessing to me and so many of your other listeners.
Absolutely.
And
thank you.
I do. Sure. I do have a gardening question.
Sure.
It's about alfalfa pellets.
Sure. Okay.
I bought Bob's been recommending them, and I finally found some. I bought a big 40-pound bag, and I'm going to use it on my orange trees and tomatoes.
Okay.
I was wondering, can I use the alfalfa pellets on annuals and perennials and houseplants?
Not houseplants. You know, because as they break down, they kind of become crusty, and that may inhibit, you know, getting moisture into the actual root ball of the plants in that situation, right, for houseplants, because it's more of a stale environment. But as far as being an outdoor fertilizer, it can be put on just about anything. We always put them on, the only fertilizer we put on the hanging basket, geraniums. So we just put, you know, a handful of those a couple of times a year, and it keeps the geranium baskets of the ivy geraniums that we've got outside just nice and happy. And, you know, it's just a handful. It's not a whole bunch. But as they break down with each watering, they feed the plant. That's what the point is. So, yeah, they can be done on annuals. They can be done on perennials. They can be done on any fruit tree, any vegetable. And in fact, with the tomato, I would probably take a couple of handfuls and, you know, just kind of work them into the soil, depending on who else gets in there at night, you know, but because it's in the vegetable garden, I still want to know what's eating my zucchini. But anyway, I get a stalk of zucchini leaf that comes straight out of the garden, right? It's came out of the ground. And then all of a sudden it's just the leaf at the top that's eaten completely off. No evidence of anything else.
I had the same thing with my zucchini. I was watching it. I'd have a little zucchini about the size of my pinky, and the next day it would be gone.
Oh, wow.
And I think it's rats.
It's what?
Now they're eating my tomatoes, so I'm
oh, rats, yeah.
For some rat trash.
It's possible that it is rats. I think the cats, oh, well, I've got one basic. This is so counter, Bob. I have a kitten. In the house, though, because, you know, and his name is Ambrose, by the way. And he, you know, he gets very, I mean, he is just, he's not a kitten, but he's like maybe 2 years old. But he still has all that vim and vigor. And he just runs from one window to another window to another window. He's chasing somebody at night around the house.
Oh.
And I swear, it's, and he doesn't give a darn about the raccoons. The raccoons are daddy's pets, you know, they're in the back. But you know, they come every night. But there is like a mole, a rat or a vole or something out there that does do damage. And like the one thing that happens is the leaf on the zucchini is gone. You know, the stem is there. No zucchini flowers, no zucchini plant, no fruit. So I can't say it's lack of pollination yet. You know, it's like, so yeah
it's so frustrating. You put all that time and effort into planting them and baby them, and then it's gone. It's like a little battlefield out there between the bugs, rats.
Squirrels. Yep. You got it. You got it.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
For doing the show. I really appreciate you and Bob.
Absolutely. So, I appreciate
it. Give Bob a big hug for me.
I will.
I haven't called in much because I'm kind of an introvert, but I really enjoyed listening to his show. So when
I can relate.
You're saying, no, there's, you know, any callers out there? We're out there.
Yeah.
Some of us are always call. Some of us don't really have questions. We know a lot. We just like listening.
This is David, the producer. And let me just invite you and all the other listeners who would like to see Edie continue this program. Contact our boss, the program director of KSFO. His name is Lee Hammer. And he will be coming back from vacation this week and deciding what to do in this time slot. So you can email him directly. It would be the best to do it by email for time's sake at lee.hammer@cumulus.com. It's spelled just like it sounds, L-E-E period, Hammer, H-A-M-M-E-R, at Cumulus, C-U-M-U-L-U-S.com. And just tell him politely that you'd like the show to continue, and we'll maybe impress him how many results we get.
Great.
Definitely.
All those that
I'll
don't call
do
in.
That and tell all my friends.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Pamela. All right.
Thank you, Edie. Take care.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, let's take a little thingy, and we'll be back after a thingy, but we're not going away with the thingy, but we're going to listen to these guys.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
we're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time.
Yep.
Excuse me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
Coming up.
You're listening to Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
You're listening to Bob Tanum in the Garden on Talk Radio 560.
Bob Tanum in the Garden on KSFO. Ooh, I'm supposed to say that more often. This is KSFO. Yes, it is KSFO. 560 on the top of the dial. Come on in with your calls. We are answering gardening questions. And 808-5600 is the phone number, 415 area code. That was 415-808-5600. And you can call in with anything you've got going on in the garden. And if you'd like to talk about that critter that must be coming at night and eating your zucchini leaves, I would love to hear from you. That would be fantastic. 415-808-5600. Got some beans that were growing at home as well. And let me know if anyone has tried that soaking the seeds in the hydrogen peroxide, and let me know if that's been working for you. I know my dad is adamant on that. And then also with his cactus, we made some starts with my son last year of, great grandma's cactus, my great grandma, his grandma, who taught him all sorts of interesting things about gardening. She was the slip maker. In other words, you know, you were growing your garden and she'd come to visit and she would inevitably ask you to borrow a piece of your plant so that she could start it in her own garden. That was great grandma. That's great grandma Conley. See, we have a very interesting tree. Of course, everybody has an interesting tree. But we were talking about that the other day. Cucumbers doth wilt. Okay, let's go to Cheryl in San Jose. Curious, what's going on in your garden?
Hi. We have a rat problem too here. And so we moved the garden this year actually to our brick driveway. And during the heat of the day, the cucumbers, I garden everything in earth boxes, and it seems to wilt in the heat of the day. And when they're first starting out, I just covered it with a towel so that, you know, it I was hoping it wouldn't just die off. But I'm not sure why it does that. None of the other, the peppers and the tomatoes, they're not wilting. So I'm not sure what's.
Do you still have that plastic cloth that came with the earth box? Remember, one side is black and one side is white?
Correct.
White. So if you turn that around, it may help them reflect the sun, because the earth box is, box is black, right? So it really heats up.
Mine is terracotta green. Colored.
Oh, terracotta. Okay, good. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's better. That's probably why they came up with more colors. But I would consider doing some sort of reflectant around it so that it necessarily wouldn't be getting the soil as hot as it's getting. Right.
Yeah.
And the soil's getting hot.
Okay, and a tomato question. You got to have a tomato question.
Of course. No problem.
I've got tomatoes on all the bushes, but they're not ripening yet. Now, I didn't put them in until May, so maybe it's too early
time
for them. I mean, they're
We've had very, very unscheduled heat versus cool, and it has not been consistent. So that's what's slowing them down. And normally it would definitely be something that they could, ongoing ripening, and other people are having all these great tomatoes, but they are smaller tomatoes. I haven't seen the big ones get going yet. I haven't seen the early girls do a lot yet, unless they've been
I've had a few huskies, and that's it.
Yeah, so it's a seed. Yeah, it's the heat. So as long as it becomes a little bit more consistent, hopefully that will be coming up this week, some constant heat, that will make a big difference on your productions. Yep.
Great. All right.
All right, Cheryl. Thank you very much for calling.
Crossed.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Let's go to Ed in Danville and Persimmon Seeds. How can I help you?
Good morning, Edie.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking my call. We've got some persimmon seeds we found in fruit we bought last fall. And we're wondering if we can grow a persimmon tree in our yard from those seeds, or we're just daydreaming.
You could grow a tree from the seed once you get it going, if you can get it to germinate. I don't know the secret to germinating a persimmon.
That?
That's a good question. It's like my husband. He just sticks something in the dirt and says, okay, is it going to grow? And eventually he did end up doing, an orange or a lemon tree? I don't even know. It's a citrus anyway. And of course, most citrus, like persimmons, are grafted for the varietal. So it would be something that you might be able to grow into a plant, but you may never see fruit off of it. Right. So how much time and energy is that going to be worth versus do you really like persimmons? Get a tree that's already ready to ripen. You know what I mean? I would get at least a bare root this coming winter, if you really wanted to do a persimmon. But certainly you can play around with seeds. You can start them almost any time of the year. Just, keep in mind that if you can get some growth on it, that it's got to be big enough by fall so that it can drop its leaves and still survive through the winter, which is kind of tricky. You've got to keep a constant moisture on it or moistures on it coming up. But again, it probably won't be something that's got any tangible fruit on it. Tangible, is that the right word? I don't know. But edible anyway, non-edible, if it does fruit. But they are self-pollinating, so go for it. Maybe soak it in some hydrogen peroxide first before you plant it. See if that will pick up the ability for it to. Yeah, I mean, that would be fun to do. Go for it.
Yeah, I was wondering if I should wrap the seeds first in like a moist newspaper.
You could, well, not newspaper because it doesn't really actually stay that moist, but a paper towel would be fine. You can soak that paper towel in hydrogen peroxide first and then put the seed in there and put it in a sunny window. I wouldn't put it outside right away. But see if you can get that to germinate. Unless your house is too cool, then you might want to put it out on a warmer patio, because you do need the warmth. So you might as well use the heat of the day. But let us know how it turns out.
And do you know when would be the best time to do this process?
Well, I would say during any part of the growing season. I think if you waited until August, I'd say, well, then we're going into September and October. It wouldn't really be enough time. But July is kind of like the end of that season. We're already in summer, obviously, but summer lasts quite a long time. So that would be the growing season. I'd go for it now. I would not necessarily, since it's already from last year, I would not say wait until next spring. I think you should do it now. Otherwise, you're going to lose that window. Okay?
Okay. Great. Yeah, it's worth the try. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
And thank you for doing the show today. And it was a nice surprise to find the show again today.
Thank you very much.
I hope it continues.
All right. Thank you very much, Ed. Absolutely. I get it. All right. Let's go ahead and take a break, I believe, David, now, what they call a break. And we'll be back. Listen to these messages and we'll continue the calls after this.
You're listening to Bob Tanum in the Garden on Talk Radio 560.
Bob Tanum's in the Garden. That's how we're doing this right now. And so actually, David did leave a message. If you would like to hear more of me, I guess that's how we're going to do it. Go ahead and email the station at lee.hammer@cumulus.com to see if we want to keep this hour all to ourselves, right? Okay, cool. All right, good. All right, Kit from El Cerrito, how can I help you?
Hi, Edie. How are you?
Hi. Can good. You hear me? How are you? Yep, I can.
My rhododendron has a lot of rust. How do I get rid of it? Besides buying a fungus
geyser. Right. I gotcha. Are you sure it's rust and not thrip that leaves those little things? Or is it on top of the leaf or underneath the leaf?
What are the differences?
Well, on top would definitely be a true fungus. Underneath might be an insect. So that's kind of where I was just asking and double checking. But without buying a fungicide, and we might want to think that it's a fungus. I mean, those are all very good questions. Are kind of open ended. If we don't know one thing, we don't know for sure if the recipe will work.
Is it on the top of the leaf or on the bottom of the leaf top? On the top.
Well,
on the top of the leaf.
Okay, and they haven't dried out at all.
No.
Okay. So everything else looks great about the leaves, except that there's this reddish stuff that's on top of the leaf.
Is it reddish, John?
Well, rust would be red.
Brownish. Huh? A brownish color.
Brownish.
Okay. To me, it sounds like thrip. It sounds like there's an insect on the bottom of the leaf. If you turn the leaf over and see any little white...
Turn the leaf over, you see some white stuff in my husband.
White guys.
He's going to look.
Okay.
Outside.
Yeah, because if it is thrip, then you will need to get at them with probably an insecticide of sorts, like Captain Jack's bug brew.
He's looking at it. Honey?
It's like a brown spot that goes through the
Yep.
It's like a brown spot. Goes through the leaf. So they're insects and they're not rust.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, so I would spray them down. If you really don't want to go out to the store and buy anything, right, which I would recommend you do, Captain Jack's bug brew. But if you didn't want to do that, you could mix a bit of a dish soap, maybe a couple of drops of dish soap in maybe an 8-ounce sort of spritzer and spray them down.
Would safer soap work?
Yeah, safer soap could also work, absolutely. And then wash down the plant. The other thing that can deter insects from making a home is to spray on the underside with with water. And of course, we don't have a lot of water. But that would kind of deter them from making a home underneath there. Just keeping the leaves clean as much as possible by spraying underneath and on top of the rhododendron leaves to try to make them unhappy for the insects. Too,
so
but then also
not,
the safer soap.
Not, so it is not rust.
It doesn't sound like rust to me. No, the
color,
yeah, it doesn't.
Mm-hmm. What color is rust?
Well, rust is always just about always a reddish color of some sort, and it's stationary. Kind of stays in one spot, but it doesn't usually cause a lot of holes in the leaves or anything like that. So. To me, it sounds like it's much more of an insect, although there are funguses that can be on the plant that will eventually stay on long enough that they will basically burn through the leaf. So that could be as well. Another real helpful thing to do is maybe take a few of those leaves into your local nursery if you've got a good one in El Cerrito, an old-fashioned nursery, and see if you can find a, you know, master gardeners in your area would also be able to help as well, just to make sure we know what we're dealing with, because seeing it is a real good thing. You could also send a picture by email to bobtanum.com, and I can take a closer look at it. And that would be something I can do, okay?
We could do that. By the way, I missed something. What happened?
What happened to Bob?
Yeah.
He's on a hospital bed in his room. Yeah. Exactly.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, it's been a tough week, although that's what my brother and my sister are with me to help him always have a family member nearby every single day. And then, yeah, we keep him company. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
I will.
Can he still eat and talk and all that?
He was able to do that up until yesterday. So, yeah, thank you. Let me continue so that we can complete the show before I cry. Let's go to Sharon in San Jose. Cucumber, no cucumbers. How can I help you?
Oh, yes. Thank you so much for continuing today. Mm-hmm. I know it must be difficult.
Yeah.
And in any case, I have a lovely vine, an Armenian cucumber. Lovely, and it has lots of yellow flowers on it, and it's nice and big, but I don't see a sign of a cucumber. I don't see any bugs around it either. Are they self-pollinating?
They would, so the pollination goes from flower to flower on a cucumber just like it would on a zucchini. But if there's no bees to move that flower to flower, then it may not end up with fruit.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well,
so you might need a paintbrush.
Okay, so do the hand stuff. It seemed to me I had heard somewhere that it was self-pollinating, and so I thought, well, that's not the problem. And I did, my husband suggested putting fertilizer on it, but when I planted it, with a planter mix that said it had fertilizer in it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and it may or may not be long-lasting fertilizer. If it's been over a month, that stuff will probably be depleted. So it wouldn't be bad to put some organic fertilizer, vegetable food on it at this point. Fish emulsion.
I don't have fish emulsion. I don't see it much anywhere. I used to use it all the time.
Yeah, me too. Okay. Well, I've been out looking for it. But yeah, the organic stuff is great. Just powder that around the soil. And then the other thing to do is to, even a self-pollinating plant, if there's no bees to move the pollen around, it still doesn't happen. So that's why he always recommends shaking your tomato bush so that you can move the pollen around, because there's no bees to move the pollen around. So there still is that extra step you got to do if you don't have the bees.
Well, I'll try that. And I think did he say in the morning to do it in the morning?
Always. Yeah, he's a morning guy. Definitely.
Yeah. Okay, still I'll try that. But you know what? I have tomatoes. I have Juliet tomatoes.
Cool.
So.
Yeah, something's working.
Maybe they just don't like that plant.
Yeah, it could be. Or there might have been a little bit more breeze to the tomatoes because they're taller. Who knows? Yeah.
Who knows? Well, anyway, thank you for the suggestions, and I will hope for some fruit then in August.
Good. All right. We still have time.
Thank you so much.
All right, Sharon. Thank you very much. And let's go to Royce in Fremont. Tomato plants, yellow leaves. How can I help you?
Yes, Edie. First of all, been a listener for decades, love Bob, and you are a great daughter, and you're doing a great job today.
Thank you.
So in terms of my tomato plants, this is the first time I'm doing container plants. I'm watering. I think I'm doing it right. I'm checking the soil, not just automatically watering at a certain interval. But I'm watering right now about twice a week. But almost all of my tomato plants have yellow leaves. In fact, one of them, actually, the leaves are brown and dried. I'm getting fruit. I'm getting flowers. But the leaves don't look so great.
Are they white crusty at all by chance?
I was wondering about that, and when I first saw it, I sprayed it with Bob's little solution, but I don't think it was that. It went away, but there's absolutely no white. It's okay. Just brown or yellow. Not on all the leaves, but some of them.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.